This is episode number one of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of November 19th, 2007. It's time for me to rock.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions. I am Chris. I'm here with our buddy Jason.
Hello.
And our token Canadian, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
This is our very, very first episode, so you'll have to bear with us. We haven't done this quite yet.
We're
hoping to learn as we go, and we're hoping that we'll get a lot of feedback from those of you who listen to us. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty damn good. I actually picked up a new TV today, so I'm a little excited
new
about
TV.
That. 42-inch plasma Panasonic. It's gorgeous.
Hot.
And it's still in the box, so let's do this. Come on.
He's excited because he hasn't played any games in HD yet.
Right.
So he's dying to hook up, like, Heavenly Sword and Orange Box and stuff.
A little bit.
Yeah, better late than never, right?
Well, since we're on the topic, what are you, what's distracting you guys this week?
Who's going first?
Jay, you go first. Let's start with PS3. What are you playing on PS3 right now?
Not a ton right now. I have lots of distractions. I just got married a few weeks ago. I've been sick. It's been crazy. But Chris, you did kind of talk me into getting Eye of Judgment. I've played maybe, I don't know, like an hour of that or so. I'm liking it so far. It's very cool. It's very novel. And we're both big fans of collectible card games. So
yeah, we played Magic
nicely.
Back in the day.
That's really it for the PS3 right now. I don't have too many games for it. I'm working on that.
Well, you just got it, so.
Exactly. Cut me some slack, man.
Yeah, he's got that, and he's got Heavenly Sword. That's pretty much it.
Oh, yes. For the 360,
so you have
though,
I've been. Is online yet, or no?
For the who?
For the Judgment. Have you tried it online?
No.
No, we didn't have time because he went to go get his TV. And
sorry.
That takes priority over testing out Eye of Judgment online.
Thank you.
I did get a chance to try to play online, and I never actually got to. I will say this, I'm a little ticked off that there is not a way to password protect or make a private room. You have to, like, make a room and invite someone real fast and hope they're the first ones there.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I did it with my buddy Alex, and we never did get a chance to play. I don't know if his connection was bad or what, but he got into the room a couple times, and all of a sudden we disconnected, and it was bad.
Well, the whole PSN network thing is just a rant for another session. Seriously, I've got lots that I can bitch about.
No kidding.
Well, it depends on the game, because Warhawk was solid in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, disagree.
Do you really?
Yeah, I disagree. Warhawk, okay, it was good in the case that, okay, you can all find a room, you can all join it. But I haven't played Warhawk since I know they added some kind of update to it. But, correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, there's still not a way in Warhawk where you can start a room, invite who you want to be in that room, and then all join a game at the same time and be on the same team.
Oh, you know, I don't even know. I haven't played it in a while either.
You're probably still right.
Yeah, and that drives me nuts. It was a pain in the ass whenever I'd play that game. And first, you have to organize everyone and say, okay, listen, guys, we're in this room. We're on this, you know, this server, this game type. Look
and
for
this
it.
This is the password.
Yeah, or even if there's no password, because you want to, chances are, you want to, Warhawk, you want a good number of players. You want, like, at least probably 10 to have, like, a good game. So you want to have it open to the public. And then, so yeah, that means you have to join one of the other servers or make yours open to the public, and they fill up really fast. So unless people join your game really quick, it's just, you're not going to be on the same team. And you have auto-balancing on, you can't switch teams without having that option off. So it was a huge pain in the ass for me, and that's actually why I stopped playing it after a while, because I never got to play with my friends.
Oh, that sucks.
See, that would kill me too, seriously. I mean, yeah, rant for another session, though. But
yeah, I think so.
What were we on? PS3.
PlayStation PS3. You were talking about Eye of Judgment.
Yeah, I'm done with that. All right, 360. Virtua Fighter 5 online. It's awesome.
Have you played that online?
No.
No.
So you played Virtua Fighter 5.
I think online's in the title. I'm required to say that or something.
And it's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jeff. This is going swimmingly. I quit the podcast already.
That was short-lived. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming.
Have a great night.
See you next week. Oh, wait. No. I did pick up Super Mario Galaxy for the Wii.
Virtua Fighter? I mean, yeah. I might be picking it up, too.
And considering I suck at 3D fighters, you're more than welcome to. Go for it.
I do, too. Unless it's Tekken. Tekken's the only one I'm good at.
I'd smoke you at Tekken.
King's my boy. I'll take you on.
Alright.
But yeah, right. After you told me you were playing Virtua Fighter, I'm like, maybe I will get it then.
Do it. Seriously. I have the joystick. But you can't play with my joystick.
Thank God. Okay.
Things just got creepy.
Moving on.
Okay. Alright, so Super Mario Galaxy, I did pick up that just the other day. Very cool. For the PSP, I'm very hooked on both Castlevania and Final Fantasy Tactics. I'm extremely disappointed with Tactics, but I love it so much that I still play it. There's huge issues with slowdown. Any 3D action that happens, any magical spell or something, somebody throws a stone, there's extreme slowdown, and it's annoying as hell. I have no idea why they couldn't emulate this properly. It makes no sense. But it's fun going back through and seeing all the new cutscenes. I dig it a lot. Anyway, aside from that, DS, still Phantom Hourglass. And I got my Feather Stylus. Cool. But guess who stole it?
Your wife gave it back to you?
Yeah, after she beat the game. That's been my week.
Cool. Jeff, how about you, man?
Okay, well, start with the... It's been kind of a slow but very busy week for me. PS3... not too much. Been playing Ratchet and Clank, but you're going to be talking about that later, right? When you're doing your list.
Yeah, I've got Ratchet and Clank on my list too.
Okay,
way to
I'll
spoil
just
it for everybody, Jeff. Damn
when
it.
You're talking about, uh-oh, spoilers.
Oh no, we're spoiling something that's happening later on the show.
I'll chime in on that one when you start talking about it. I don't want to take a bunch of time about that. Also, again. Another game that we're talking about in another segment, so I can't really mention that one as well. So I'll move right to the 360. One game I've been playing a lot the last week has been Call of Duty 4. And I know you guys aren't big first-person shooter fans, but you have to play this game. Everybody out there has to play this game.
I'm actually somewhat interested in Call of Duty, just because of what I've seen you guys talking about. Like you and the other people that we know. And I've kind of started thinking about picking it up when I can get it used or something like that, because I mean I'm not going to jump in it now. There's too much going on as far as games, but
well,
it looks great.
Definitely recommend that. If would you play it online? That's the thing.
Probably not. Because I mean, honestly, I'd get raped.
I'd be fodder for
everybody.
Well. That's good, because the single player actually does stand out. It is worth it. It is short, but I will say, in terms of graphics, it's easily... I'd say it is the best first-person shooter looking first-person shooter on either 360 or PS3.
Wow.
And I have played both of them, and they look basically indistinguishable. And the only way you could really probably pick them apart is if you looked at side-by-side screenshots and really, really were anal about how things looked, how... aliasing looked or whatnot, but they're basically on par for both. The game is crazy immersive. I take it you guys never play Call of Duty 2.
No,
I did not.
It's very intense. You're always moving. You're always shooting. There's always something to do. It's crazy in that regard. There's just so much going on, so much to take in. It actually feels like you are fighting for your life in some situations. A lot of people say to play the game on hardened or veteran, or else you're a pussy. I take the opposite. Maybe I am a pussy, but I played on normal the first time just so I can enjoy it. Because I remember trying Call of Duty 2 on veteran, and yeah, you do progress and you get further and further, but it's so frustrating that it kind of takes some of the fun out of it. It's more satisfying when you get to the end of a level, get to the next level, but my recommendation out there for anyone out there is play it on normal first, enjoy it, because you are going to want to go back and play it again, because the game has an amazing story. I'm not going to go too much into the story, because there are some... Not so much twists, but there's some interesting events that take place. Basically, your whole terrorist story, states go in. Also, you have Britain going in. You got to like take out these guys before they take out you. But it's great pacing. You're always doing something new in every level. One level, you're on the ground. You're sending in troops to, say, on this big tanker. next level, you're in a helicopter, you're gunning down people with this big cannon. There's another really cool level where you're actually manning a cannon on the side of a... I can't remember the name of the jet. It's one of those huge bombing jets. It's at night, so you're like this night vision kind of thing. It's really fun. It's yeah, it's always changing up the gameplay. You never get bored.
You're not just sitting in the trenches the entire time.
Exactly. Like, cool. Call of Duty 2 changed up a little bit, but it was basically still exactly like you said, you're in the trenches. But yeah, it's perfect pacing, you're always doing something new. You're going to get through the story probably in about 5 hours, but the second you get
really?
It, like, oh yeah, it's normally you can probably get through in 5 hours. If you're decent at first-person shooters, if you're new to first-person shooters, or if you don't play them too often, maybe 6 or 7, but I'd say 5. But you're going to immediately want to go through it again, because it is that good for the single player.
Okay.
But the main meat of Call of Duty is in the multiplayer. And I am a huge Halo fan. If anyone knows me, I love Halo 3. I thought Halo 3 rejuvenated the series, even though people would argue it didn't need rejuvenating. I didn't like Halo 2. I thought it was a piece of garbage compared to Combat Evolved. Halo 3 saved it. Awesome. Got into Call of Duty 4. I was afraid at first because, for those who don't know, there's a level-up system in Call of Duty 4. You don't just go in there. There's weapons sprawled out across the map.
They actually have RPG elements of sorts, right?
Exactly. You don't have to run for the rocket launcher, and then after that, it's like a clusterfuck of bombs going off everywhere. Throw a couple grenades, shoot, kill, grab rocket launcher, grab sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. You basically level up, get to pick your weapons, make your own custom characters, so to speak, not in terms of the way they look, but what weapons they have or what perks they have. Perks are basically little things like when you die, you drop a grenade. When you get shot down, you can actually pull out a pistol and you live for about another 20 seconds or so where you can actually still fire your pistol.
Oh, wow.
Little things like that. Hmm. And at first, you might think, okay, this is intimidating. I'm going to go online. I'm just going to get my ass kicked at higher levels. But first of all, they did it really well. The experience system works out very well. You get experience for basically doing anything, whether that's just staying in the game, getting a kill, getting an assist. You level up very fast. I'd say within an hour, or probably about 3 hours, I was probably at about level 10, around that area, 1 to 10, and that's pretty damn good. Actually, I think it was less than that. I think within 3 hours, it was actually more on like level 15 or so. But you level up really quick, you get a lot of the really things you really need, like laser scopes and your weapons really early, and because the game is faster moving than, say, a Halo game, and also it's more realistic, the fact that maybe 2 or 3 shots take someone down, I think it's more fair to novice players or new players to the game, because if you find somebody that has like their back to you or they're standing kind of to the side, you have a good chance of killing them before they have enough time to turn around and shoot you. So even if you're playing it's like a level 50 and you're a level like 7, if you have them in your sights before they do, you can pretty much take them down if you're a competent shooter. And that's something you do have to do in Call of Duty 4. You can't just pull the trigger and hold it down. It's all about headshots and just kind of burst fire, aim at their head, go for it. That's basically it for... Oh, another thing is, I have to add this, ever since Halo 2 had the brilliant party system where you can invite people to your party and then jump game to game to game, no game has really used that since Halo 2. But now Call of Duty 4 basically uses the exact same system. It's perfect. Every single multiplayer game should have this.
Very
it's
nice.
Perfect for friends. It's simple to get around. Awesome game. I can't recommend it anymore. It's a definite buy if you're a first-person shooter fan. If you want to try a first-person shooter and you're not really sure, I would say dive right into this first. You're going to be blown away.
And it's getting tremendous reviews, too. So
it's getting great reviews all across the board. And I would actually say it's probably the best first-person shooter I've played in the last couple of years, without a doubt.
Cool.
The other game I've been playing, which I'm actually really, really upset you guys haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I'm sure you will, is Assassin's Creed.
And I have been waiting to hear what you had to say about this game.
As have
I. This game has been on my radar ever since it was announced for PS3 way back. I think it was E3 05, I think it was.
05, yeah.
05?
It's been a while.
Been a very long time. Looked very promising from the beginning. I was so excited. It came out yesterday. Went and bought it. And basically, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed in the game as a whole. I do like the game, but it has its issues. I gotta ask you guys a question. When you guys saw the commercial for Assassin's Creed, saw the trailers, what type of game do you think this was gonna be? What would you relate it to?
Action adventure, Prince of Persia-esque, I guess. I really don't know.
Yeah, like a stealth Prince of Persia, if anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Metal Gear meets Prince of Persia. It's a really weird combination to say it, but I mean, that would be kind of a first impression, but I mean, I know it's nothing like that.
No, it came from the same team as Prince of Persia. I figured it'd be something like that. Prince of Persia meets Hitman meets Splinter Cell.
Right.
You know? Hitman, there you go. That's a better example.
It's like all three of those together. At the heart of it, that kind of is what it is. The story is basically you play... Okay, this is a minor spoiler. This spoiler is actually given to you in the first little 5 minutes of the game. The story does not... Okay, sorry, I'll rewind a second. By the trailers, it makes it look like it takes place in the Crusades, way back, and you play a part of an assassin, and you're taking out these people, these meaningful members of whether it's some type of government or some kind of cult, whatnot. Basically, these leaders, these icons of that want to start war, whatnot, with all the different factions around the area. You want to take them out, so basically to have peace. But the actual story is you're actually in the present day or possibly near future, and you are actually in this test lab, and it's kind of a Matrix thing going on where they say that your ancestors' memories get passed on generation to generation through genes and DNA. So basically they want to find out something. I don't really know yet. I haven't gotten too far in the game, but basically they're doing these tests on you, who your ancient ancestor was an assassin, part of this Assassin's Guild. So basically that's what the story is. It's actually present day, but it's actually going back in memory, back in time. So basic story is you're this guy named Altair. You got to take out these dudes, present day. There you go. Now, first things first, graphics are awesome. Some of the best graphics I've seen on 360, at least. I haven't played the PS3 version. The lighting and shadows are second to none. It's got the best shadow effects I've ever seen in any other game. Every single thing in the game has a shadow. And
even
every
Uncharted?
Shadow... Even... yes, even Uncharted.
Wow.
Yeah, Uncharted has great shadows, great lighting. But this is... I wouldn't say head and shoulders above Uncharted, but... Overall, I think it is better because every single thing has a shadow and casts a realistic shadow, and it's not one of those fuzzy looking shadows that most video games have. It could be kind of blocky, kind of grainy. They actually look like a realistic shadow. And also what's really cool is the sun, it doesn't necessarily move, but it gives an effect sometimes where clouds are kind of coming over, or it kind of gives an effect the sun is kind of moving, or like, you know, the Earth's rotating around the sun. So
very cool.
The direction of the light is actually changing, which is really awesome. But there is actually no change of day per se in the game. You know, I haven't played any missions at night or anything like that. But I'll get down to basically that's the good part. Graphics, basically, the main gameplay is fine, except for when you start getting to the dumb AI. And what I mean by dumb AI is the first missions, of course, are all training missions, and then you get set off to basically make your first assassination. And this involves traveling across this land on a horse, which you cannot quick travel or warp or anything like that. You basically have to ride your horse. And it can take... It's a pretty lengthy ride, and it's pretty cool because the graphics are good. You have stuff to look at, you know, a lot of pretty things. But you run into soldiers along the way that, for some weird reason, if you're not sneaking past them, if you hit the A button, you go into a blend. It's called a... Basically, you blend in with the environment, so to speak, which basically translates to walk very slowly. And if you're not doing that and you get too close, your alert goes off, like they've noticed you, and then they'll start attacking you for no reason. It's like, I haven't even done anything yet. I haven't killed anyone. What did I do wrong? I'm walking past you.
Do the exclamation points appear above their head?
I was just thinking the same damn thing.
And you know what? That would almost be better, because at least that way you know what's going to happen. This you don't know. Like some guards, when you're in cities and towns, they'll leave alone. But for some reason, if you're outside of the towns, walking on these like pathways to get to the other towns, they want to kill you.
Well, they don't put up with stinky people outside of town. Hell no.
I don't know. I guess you look shady.
Yep.
But they're dumb in the way that you could walk up to one guy, kill him right beside his AI partner who's sitting right next to them. And what they'll do is they'll turn around, look at the dead body, and go, "Who did this?" And you can be standing right there, and then they'll look at you, and then they'll draw their sword and want to fight you. And then you can kill that guy, and then as long as you hit the A button and walk away slowly, whatever guards come after that, same thing. "Who did this?" Same dialogue and everything.
So you get like a domino effect of like people dying. "Oh, what's in this box?"
Yeah. Exactly. And they don't really know anything about it. It's kind of... I wouldn't be so angry about it if it wasn't for the fact that games last gen did stuff like that so much better, like Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory, Hitman. It was realistic, where if you did something stupid in front of someone you shouldn't, you got penalized for it. But just walking by someone, just bumping into them, it's unacceptable in this day and age, especially for next gen, and we're already 2 years into it. There's some other things on here that I have to mention. The deaths are awesome. The ways you can kill people, you have four basic weapons, but the one main blade, you basically have this blade that comes out of your underneath your forearm. You basically jab it in people's neck, and you can attack them in two ways: sneak up behind them, stealth kill, or you can actually run towards them, hit the X button, you actually jump up, leap into the air, and basically jump on their back or on their chest and basically jab them in the eye or in the back of the head or whatnot. They all look really cool, animated very well.
So it's almost kind of like a manhunt type thing. You sneak up behind someone, then you've got a certain kill animation, as it were. Okay.
Yeah, it's all context sensitive as well. It's all basically where the character is and whatnot, which is perfect to lead into my next kind of complaint about the game is the platforming. Like you guys said, it kind of reminds you of Prince of Persia, which is very heavy on platforming. And for me, platforming is you see something, you hit a jump button, you jump on it. You see something you want to climb on, you jump on it, grab the ledge, hit jump again, you jump up, you know, do whatever you have to do. Basically, you button your input equals an output on the screen. But basically, I can see where Ubisoft went with this technique, but you hold down A, you hold down R, and you basically aim Altair in a direction, and he'll run. If there's something to jump over, he'll automatically jump over it. If there's a wall, he'll run up the wall, grab onto whatever he can grab onto. If you keep holding up, he'll continue to climb until he can't climb anymore.
So he goes into ninja mode.
Yeah, it's basically you're not controlling him at that point. You're controlling the direction he's going in, but that is it. And it's fun. It's fun because it's simple, and you can take in all of your surroundings while you're doing it. It looks really cool. All the animations look awesome. But at the same time, you're not... You know, in Crackdown, you climb the agency tower, you feel satisfied. Like, I just climbed that. I figured out how to get up to that thing. It took me a while. I figured out, awesome. Whereas this, you just like, I want to climb that big tower. Cool. I'll hit A and push up. And 20 seconds later, at the top.
The only thing that I see, I actually watched the GameSpot's video review today. Yep. And you don't get it's hard to tell what kind of control it has when you're watching one of those, but... I liked the fact that it looked like you can climb on just about anything. I mean, it was like all the environments were so alive that it's any ledge you could walk up to and jump up on and climb. And I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, as I said, I haven't played it, so I can't.
No, don't get me wrong. You can literally climb up anything you see. It's awesome. It is great, but the thing is, it's not really a complaint, it's more of, I guess it's a lack of satisfaction doing so, because you can't do it and be like, you know, when you show your friends, like, oh, look how badass I am, like, when you're playing, like, Ninja Gaiden, and you have this really cool platforming element, and you're slaughtering guys left and right, and then you show them, and you actually, like, it takes skill to do that, then you go to Assassin's Creed, you do all this stuff, them watching, you're probably like, oh, wow, dude, that's awesome, I want to be able to do that, how do you do that shit, and you just be like, you hold down A, and aim. it's fun, like, don't get me wrong, it's just kind of, I don't know, I expected more, I guess. And the same way as I expect more in the types of missions, it's supposed to be open-ended, kind of like Grand Theft Auto. Not so much, there's like four basic things you can do: pickpocket, interrogate, go on these little missions where you have to assassinate other people to get information, but it's basically the same four things you do in every single town over and over again, and then you got your head assassination, which here comes my number one complaint about the game, is in Hitman, in Splinter Cell, in any type of game where you have to assassinate or take out anybody, any kind of stealth-based game, you basically get your tips, you know where your target is, you go there, you find them, then you get to decide when you want to take this guy out. You can follow him around, you can decide, you know what, I'm going to take out his guards first and go for him, I'm going to wait for him to go to his bedroom, and then while he's trying to go to bed, I'm going to, like, stab him in the eye with a spoon, you know, like, anything you can think of, really. And then this game, basically, they give you the target, and you go there, you can get there however you want, on roofs, on the ground, whatever, but then, I've only done one assassination mission, by the way, which is probably about 2.5 to 3 hours into the game. That's how long the kind of tutorial is, and the other stuff you have to do beforehand. But I'm looking, it shows his marker there, I'm like, where is this guy? I'm looking for him, I don't see anybody. So I climb down from the roof. Once I land on the ground, it triggers a cutscene where this dude comes out, and you have to watch this cutscene for about, 3 minutes, and then after that, you gotta kill the guy. So basically, you just run at him and take him out, or you can stealthily move around to his back and take him out, but there's really no variation, which is very disappointing considering the type of game that I expected it to be. I really don't want to go too much into this because hopefully when you guys get a chance to play it, we can go into more depth, and I'm taking up way too much time here. So, but I know it sounds like I don't like the game. I listed way more stuff than, I mean, negative things and good things, but overall it is a fun game for what it is. It's just, so far, it's just what I expected was a almost perfect stealth action game where you're an assassin, where to me it's more of an action game. Like, I didn't even speak in regards to the action and the fighting, how it's basically one button does everything, even for the fighting. But yeah, it's basically, I can't guarantee it's a buy right now. Definitely say rent it first. For all I know, I could love it. I'll wait until I beat the game. Hopefully I'll have it completed in the next few days or so if I actually get some free time.
Yeah, we'll check in with you again to see.
Yeah, I'll do another impression. But so far I'd say it's a definite rent for sure. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's fun to take out the guys. I just wish there's more variation, and I wish you could approach the assassinations more to how you wanted to, not the way the developers made you do it, and right. all the tediousness that goes along with it. But yeah, other than that, the Wii, I haven't played anything. I haven't got my hands on Mario Galaxy yet, which I'm sure I will soon. And that's about it. And sorry for taking so long.
Damn it! There goes the show.
All right. Thanks again for tuning in this week. yeah, you definitely need to get your hands on Super Mario Galaxy because it's fantastic. And I'll get to that after I go through the stuff that takes a little bit less time to talk about. I have also been playing Eye of Judgment. I absolutely love the game. It pretty much sucked me away from Ratchet and Clank and Folklore for the first few days I had it. It's like every time I turned on my PS3, I was playing Eye of Judgment. And I think that's probably part of the magic player in me that's coming out again and saying, hey, look, it's a card game. And hey, look at all the cool shit that's happening on the screen. Because the visuals really are pretty spectacular. The effects are really good. And the avatar that they use to actually signify the eye is... He's pretty intimidating looking. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he is.
But, I'm still hoping to get some online play with that going on. And I think Jason and I will probably do that sometime this week, hopefully. And we'll see what happens.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Ratchet and Clank, I can't say enough good things about that. I mean, I'm
so
having
jealous.
So much fun playing that game.
I want that one.
Oh,
so bad.
You'll get your hands on it.
Good.
Wasn't the PSP one the first one you played?
No, actually, that kind of brought me back. I played the original and thought it was very cool, but I don't know, lost interest somewhere along the way. But then you got me the PSP one and just fell in love. I'm like, yeah. I'm a Ratchet and Clank fanboy.
Did you download the demo?
No, I did not. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I played it for...
You didn't download... Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you didn't download the demo, at least.
Yeah, you need to go do
yeah,
that
like
right now.
Yeah, it was like 1.6 gig or something like that. Yep, played it, loved it.
Something like that. It's pretty big.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to say, though, the one thing that really impresses me the most about Ratchet & Clank is just how much is going on. You know, yeah. I mean, you start out in this really huge city, and there's, you know, cars flying around all over the place, and it's just, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
and
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just can't get enough. I'll just stop and look around and just admire the way that the stages are laid out, because they're laid out that well.
Yeah. Now, how far are you in the game, Chris? Are you far?
I'm not as far as I'd like to be, but I think I'm I just got my own ship, and
oh, okay.
I think I've finished the next planet after that.
It's like four planets in or something like that?
Yeah.
Four or five?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm having a lot of fun. And I had a lot of fun when I got to play as Clank, too. I mean...
Yeah, that's really fun.
He's a little Spitfire.
Yeah, because I've been playing that, too, on PS3, and I'm loving it. I haven't played a Crash and Clank game since Going Commando, and I played Going Commando probably about 2 months before Future came out, because I've never played one before, and I want to see what they were like. And I really like it. Staple of a PS3 game. First PS3 game that totally blew me away. But I was just going to say, if I had to pick out only one thing about that game, is, like you said, the first mission, first planet, has so much going on, so much things you can do, like that you're riding the rails, jumping around. But didn't you find, have you found a level since that first level that has been as impressive?
Not yet, actually. not as impressive as the first one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I still like every level's been great, but this, I think they threw so much at you in that first level. You're like, holy shit! And then this, I've been waiting for that holy shit moment again since that level, and I haven't got there yet. But I haven't beat the game, so who knows? But yeah, awesome game though.
Well, the first big boss that you have to fight is kind of cool too, because you don't expect it. And I've been waiting to fight another boss since then, and I haven't seen it yet.
Which is the first boss again? I can't remember.
What the hell do they call him? I forgot what they call him. The big huge slug thing on the muddy planet.
Oh yeah, the Leviathan thing or whatever the hell it is.
Right, the Leviathans. Yeah. The first Leviathan that you fight. I mean, that was kind of cool. Yeah. And I've been waiting for another one of those since then, and I haven't seen one yet, so I'm hoping I'm getting one
soon. Yeah, it takes a bit, but yeah, they're awesome.
Let's see, what
almost
else?
Almost Pixar quality. Somebody was almost telling the truth.
It's, yeah, seriously. It almost is, especially when you get close up and you can actually see his fur.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. Well, I've also been playing Folklore still. I absolutely love that game. I just getting to the point where I don't like the fact that I have to go play it again with another character, so it's...
Well, what?
Yeah, Folklore is, you have Ellen and you have Keats, right?
Okay.
And I think there's 7 chapters total, and there's 5 different Netherworld realms. Well, you have to play each chapter with each character and go through the story basically from 2 different directions. It's kind of cool the way they do it that way, because you get a lot of information about the story, and you basically get 2 different perspectives on the story, and you know, it's, the story is interesting because it's kind of a mystery that's going on in this little town, and you know, you start seeing how Ellen's looking at things and the person that's helping Ellen out, and then how Keats handling things, and the person who's helping Keats out is like the enemy of the person that's helping Ellen. It's like, You've got the fairy king, and then you've got this chick that I don't remember.
The fairy king.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's the fairy king. And then I've only played like 1 chapter with Keats, so I don't remember the girl's name, but she's basically trying to turn the Netherworld inside out. So it's a really, really cool game. It's just, it's getting tedious because you have to go back and play the same chapter with
the same thing over again.
Quick question. I played the demo. I actually really liked the demo. I did play with both characters, but I'm not sure if all the cinematics are supposed to be like this or if they are in the final, but they were kind of stylized really cool, but there was no voice acting and they were just basically static screens. Is that like out the entire game, or is that just for like maybe the little cinematics?
No, this game has no idea what it wants to do when it comes to that. It's got 3 different ways of displaying the story to you. When you like between major parts, it's, you know, you'll get full motion video cutscenes with voice, and the voice acting is really good. I mean, it's not like the voice acting sucks. If the voice acting sucks, then I could understand. All right, well, we're just gonna do text. But they got some pretty good voice actors, and then you have the comic like scene that's probably what you're talking about.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, and you know, that's all text, and then they have the scenes where it's just, you see the 2 characters that are talking to each other on either side of the screen, and there's text bubbles. Yeah. So this is a game, when it comes to that, this is a game that has no idea what it wants to do. I really wish they would have put more voice in it. I'm not going to say anything bad about the game, because I still think it's a great game. It's just, it's getting kind of tedious, but I'm still going to play through it, and I still love it, so...
That's okay. You know what? That's almost how I feel about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I think it almost doesn't know what it wants to do, and I was reading a message board earlier on a site, and one guy put it perfectly, that basically Splinter Cell does stealth great, Prince of Persia does platforming great, Assassin's Creed does neither of them great, just good. So as long as you can deal with that, you'll like the game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really know what it wants to be.
Well, I would say, as far as Folklore goes, it's hard to compare it to another game. I mean, most of the people that are out there, and I kind of agree, but a lot of people would say that the closest thing to it is Cameo for the 360. And it kind of is, but instead of actually turning into the creature that you need to use, she just kind of, like, she'll summon him. And one of the cool things about the different characters, about Keats and Ellen, is that they both play totally differently.
That's good.
Like, Ellen will actually summon the creature that you've... they call them IDs or IDs. I don't know if it's actually ID or ID, but you have to... You basically steal the soul of the creature, and then you get to use it. Well, after you steal the soul, then you can assign it to a button, and the button will summon that creature, and it'll attack for you.
That's kind of cool.
And she'll summon them right in front of her, and whereas Keats will actually... It's almost like he's enveloped by the creature, and he's doing the motions of the attack.
Well, that's cool. How does that translate to boss battles? Because I remember there's one boss battle in the demo which I thought was amazing, where you had to use kind of the different IDs or IDs or whatever the hell you want to call them, and you had to use them at certain times. It was that big thing that was like in this like murky swamp, and you had to use this thing that came out and blow it up in this big spike thing, and then...
Right.
Is it like that the whole game? Like, you got to use like different combos. It's kind of like a strategic element to it.
And that's one of the things I really love about the game is because they have that picture book, and that's kind of how you figure out, you know, what to use. And, you know, every folklore, which is the large enemies that you fight at the end of each chapter, every folklore is like that. You have to, you know, determine which of the IDs that you're going to use against them. And one of the other cool things is that Ellen and Keats, they won't necessarily get the same IDs. So you might fight the first folklore with Ellen, and you know you'll use the creatures that were in the demo. But when you get there with Keats, you're using different ones altogether. So it's kind of cool in that respect as well.
That definitely sounds pretty cool. I'll probably rent that one.
It's definitely worth the look. I don't think you'd get through it with just a rent because it's pretty long. I mean, I'm about 12 hours in, and I'm on chapter 5 with Ellen and chapter 2 with Keats, and there's 7 chapters total. So it's a pretty big game. It's a pretty big game, and it's got a very involved story that will keep you guessing, really.
Sounds but that's awesome.
I also keep booting up Everyday Shooter because it's awesome, and
hell yes.
I love it. I love that game. On to 360. I finally got my hands on Orange Box, and I'm very, very, very satisfied.
That a boy.
I'm even enjoying playing Half-Life. I mean, the guy who doesn't like first-person shooters, and I'm enjoying Half-Life.
Oh, same here.
Did you enjoy the cake, though? You must have enjoyed the cake.
No, the cake is a lie. And they have shirts.
Oh, spoilers! Spoilers!
Spoilers! They have shirts now. The cake is a lie shirt, and I have to get one.
That is awesome.
I was wearing it
yesterday.
Like, I don't know if
profile picture's gonna have me in that shirt.
I would totally wear that in public.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, though, you wear that in public. What's worse, you wearing it in public, or the person coming up to you being like, "Dude, that's such a cool shirt"?
That's always awkward.
It's like, all right.
I have a shirt that has it has a crest on it, and it says House of Link, and it says Zelda across it. And it's not in like big blocky letters or anything. You actually have to look at the shirt to see that it says Zelda, and I get people that come up to me all the time and are just like, "Dude, I love your shirt, man."
Like, aren't you always like unconsciously compelled to look at their shirt as well? And then, you know, they're like, "Dude, that's an awesome shirt." And you look down, it's like, "Thanks."
Yeah.
And their shirt just sucks.
Your shirt's blue. That's a cool blue. Yeah.
Way to go.
The cake is a lie. Mm-hmm. And Portal is easily worth the price of admission. I mean,
I have to say,
it was worth buying Orange Box just to play Portal. I would definitely go as far as to say that.
Mm-hmm. You not just for the end song alone. Come on.
Yeah, the end song is hilarious.
Don't say it. Don't do anything. I haven't been yet. I'm on the second last level. I need to get to the last.
You need to beat it.
Have you heard the song at all yet, Jeff?
No, I haven't heard it. I've been avoiding it like the plague. I haven't been reading any spoilers up on it. I haven't read anything. I just know I'm on the second last level. I got to get through that. One more level. I just haven't had a chance to put it in with the games I've been playing lately. And I will this weekend. By next week, I will have beaten Portal.
I'm going to hold you to it, and I'm going to make sure that you actually know the lyrics by then as well.
Oh, right. I don't know about that now, Jason.
I think we're all going to sing the song next week.
Mm-hmm. That'll be your intro music.
Yeah.
You can do that. I'll sit back and laugh.
And there goes all of our three listeners. I'm bad, I'm sorry.
Those three people are actually us. So.
Yeah, we're going to be the only listeners, so we're going to stop listening to our own podcast.
It's like, holy shit, this really sucks. Wow.
But yes, Jeff, babies. I did actually beat Portal, and I finished the advanced maps, too. Some of those advanced maps, I mean, you just look at them and you're like,
there's
what?
No way.
Yeah, okay, and so you eventually figured it out, and it's, especially the last one. The last one is Chapter 18, which is where you are, and think of, when you finish Chapter 18, think in your head, okay, now make this, like, four times harder, and then that's the advanced map.
Okay, now, do you think, did they totally change levels around, or are they based the same levels, but you just have to do different stuff within them?
They're the same levels that may or may not be, like, the floor may be different. Like, there's one where it's like, when you go through the normal game, the floor is like a regular floor, and then on the next time through on the advanced map, it's acid.
Okay, because I've kept hearing about these advanced maps. I was kind of hoping that it was like that and not like they made, say, 40 maps, and then that 20 mark was like, you know what? I don't think people are going to get even this far. They might not get further past this. Let's just end the game here, and then if they want, they can play another 20. So I was kind of worried in that aspect that it was kind of, you know, kind of two halves of the game. So that's what I was just wondering.
Oh, no. They actually go back and they change six of the maps that you've already played.
Right. All right, that's cool.
I mean, there's still point A, there's still point B, but the way that you get there is just completely different.
Yeah, exactly. Jason, you said you finished the advanced maps, right?
Yeah.
Have you done any of the challenges yet?
No, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
I think my mind warped enough for that right now. So, I mean, I've been holding everything off until I get this TV.
So. I'm not so even going to converse gonna get with my wife this next week. Next week.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh my god, HD's amazing.
And I've been playing this, and I've been playing this. I can't wait.
He's gonna be talking about Heavenly Sword next week.
He's gonna be talking about Heavenly Sword. Like, okay, we've played that. I'll get caught up. I'm gonna get caught up, I swear.
Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, it's
Jeff.
Sucks.
Jeff, yeah. Super Mario Galaxy, man. I'm telling
about
you. I love Ratchet and Clank, yep. But it just doesn't stand up.
Really?
It doesn't. This game has... I was trying to gather information for the show beforehand, before you guys came on, and I looked at the clock, and I was like, hey, it's 8:15. I got, like, half an hour, 45 minutes. I'm popping Super Mario Galaxy and play a couple stages. And, I mean, it's that addicting to me at this point, and it's just... Take everything that you loved about Mario 64 and then add a million more things that you're going to love about it. What's that?
What if you didn't love Mario 64?
Then you're probably retarded and there's something wrong with you.
No,
anyway,
I'm just kidding. All the Nintendo guys out there probably like want to kill me. Like, oh, who is this guy? You know, hunt him down.
I better cancel that hit I just put on you.
It's knocking at my door.
The game is
definitely
fantastic.
Definitely not Altair, because I would have heard him coming a mile away.
The game is fantastic. It's the level design is incredible. I love how they have all these little planetoids that you can run all over the place on, and they added the little star bits thing now. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. I've seen videos of that. Yeah.
Okay, and you can basically collect them by just pointing your remote at them. Then you can shoot them at enemies, and you can feed the little star dudes. They call them Lunas, I think. And some of them will. It's like one of them you have to give, like, 400 little star bits to, and he shoots off and turns into another planet, another galaxy that you can visit and get a star from.
And let me tell you, shooting 400 little bits is extremely satisfying. It's fun as hell. I'm not kidding!
Especially because it takes, like, 3 seconds.
Like, shit, they get bigger.
Yep.
I have to mention this about this game. I was looking at game rankings today, and,
What's it got, like 99 or something?
Oh, it's got 98, right? It's at 97.5 right now. It's got tons of 10s. But the thing that surprised me the most, it got a 10 from the official U.S. PlayStation Magazine.
No way.
What?
Yes.
I didn't see
PlayStation
that.
PlayStation Magazine gave Super Mario and Galaxy a 10. I thought that was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
But it's a testament to how good the game is. I mean,
don't make shit up on the podcast, or Chris.
Or
no, see, and that's the thing.
You don't
want to
lose our credibility right in the first.
All right, I'm going to do a disclaimer right now, because it was listed under the review section for Super Mario Galaxy, but when I clicked on the link, it didn't go anywhere, and I was really pissed because I wanted to see it.
Okay, so that would have been pretty awesome, though. It just shows how much of a staple of gaming Mario is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that may be a bullshit review, but I don't know. I'm going to check it again at one point or another, but the game is... It's not perfect in my book. I wouldn't be one of the ones giving it a 10, because it does have a couple things that kind of get me... the camera's a little shady sometimes,
locking your doors as you're saying this.
Yeah, I know, right? All the Nintendo fanboys are going to come hunt me down.
They're delicious.
But they mapped the D-pad to the camera so you can move it around, and it's kind of on rails. It'll stay at the same level, but it'll go move around you so you can, you know, if it's in a bad spot where you can't see Mario anymore, you just move it to the left a couple times or whatever. And
it's still not free form, though. There's still only some places that you can use it. If you get yourself backed into a corner or something, you can't completely swing it around or anything. So there is still a first
some places
person
it's
move,
locked.
But yeah, exactly.
So in some anyway, places
proceed.
The other thing is that inertia. if you're in a really small space, it takes Mario a second to start running at full speed. So mm-hmm. if you're trying to get like a distance jump somehow, so if you're in a really tight space, it's hard to do that just because it takes a while to get the inertia to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, it's a small issue, and it's only...
That's kind of like all the Mario games, though, really.
I agree. I know 64 was like that, too.
Was it? I don't know. Yep. It just seemed more apparent.
Even the 2D ones, you had to basically do the run, and the longer you ran, basically, the further you jumped.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I know, but it's I don't know. It just seems so much more apparent in this game.
Conform, Chris. Conform.
I know. I'm a horrible gamer.
Hey, you guys played it. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, you need to get it. It's fantastic. I
agree.
It's every person out there that has a Wii should have this game.
I did not think that I was going to like it as much as I did. You know, I kind of consider myself to be maybe I'm a seasoned gamer now. Yeah, I've played Manhunt, I've played, you know, Silent Hill, and maybe my palate's a little more refined or something.
But
I had fun as hell. It was great. I'd recommend it to anybody.
I'm going to play it again right after this podcast.
Let's definitely give it a try.
Oh, one thing I wanted to definitely mention is the two-player thing that I think a lot of people overlook. I'm in this relationship. I've got this great wife. She's also a gamer, and she likes to steal games from me. And this is one of the games, actually. So she's playing, you know, Mario, and I can actually participate a little bit. And it's not just shooting bits at everything. You can help them jump. You can hold enemies. So it really does a great job of trying to get another person into the game as well, without making it a full, like, two-player game. Because that would just be impossible. So,
I haven't tried that out yet, but I want to.
It's definitely a neat feature that they really didn't even have to do at all. But they did, and they did it well. I applaud them.
Good. Very cool. I'll have to give that a try this weekend when Crystal gets here.
There you go.
Let's see, what else? Dracula X Chronicles, of course.
Oh, yes.
I'm calling this the orange box of PSP.
And it's
is
so
the
true.
Best value.
It has Portal.
What's that?
It has Portal.
No. It's a figure of speech, Jeff. God. No, it's just because of... You're getting two incredible games and a remake of an incredible game for $30. And yep. It's... Even if you slightly like Castlevania, you need to have this if you have a PSP.
Yeah.
And then for DS, I'm still playing Zelda, and I've only turned it on a couple times this week, but I'm working on it.
I played that too, but I haven't played it enough to really talk about it. So
yeah. Same here.
Same here.
It's kind of getting lost.
There's just too many other games out.
Oh, there's too many distractions. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
I know.
I brought this
up
myself.
That was bad. Yes, he did. Pretty much. I'm not even sorry.
We are.
Yes, sorry guys.
Well, that's it for what I've been playing. And what
all
do we
right,
got?
So that basically covers all of us, doesn't it?
What's that?
Basically covers all of us.
It does. It does. What's happening in news lately?
In news, okay. There's actually been a lot of news this week. Where should I start here? It's tons of stuff. We can start off, I guess. You know what? Mario Galaxy. Speaking of Mario Galaxy. It apparently sold 250,000 copies in 1 week in Japan.
Nice.
Let's give it up for Mario. Started video games, well, basically, and there you go, the newest one, 250,000. Little sidebar to that is Ace Combat also sold really well. Don't have an exact number, but it actually pushed 360 systems in Japan, which is a miracle in itself.
I think it was around 77,000 or something like that.
77,000, something like that. Yeah. That is a lot.
That is a lot for Japan. That is a ton.
Yeah, and then once they're all done playing Ace Combat, they'll sell all the systems back, and people can pick them up used for probably $100 over there.
They'll be playing Idol Master and fawning over the cute little Idol chicks.
Oh, Gundam, yeah. But are you guys surprised with the Mario Galaxy?
No, not at all.
Am I surprised that it's doing as well as it is?
So you guys say doing as well. I think it underachieved.
250,000 in a week?
There's not a lot of people in Japan.
Japan doesn't have the how many Wii's have been sold in Japan?
Three
to 4 million. They've loved Mario since day one, and it can't. This the staple of video gaming could not manage to sell more than $250,000 copies in 1 week. I guess the only reason I'd say this because when you look at like a staple of a game system, when you're looking at like the Mario, you got Mario for Nintendo. I guess PlayStation could be. Oh geez, would be like I guess Final Fantasy, maybe Metal Gear. Anyone help me out here?
Probably Final Fantasy.
I've heard of those games. Yeah.
Then you got like Halo for 360 for the Xbox, and you figure most people, you know, they buy the systems to get those games that everyone's used to, that are familiar with. And I just thought with that many Wii's out there, I guess I really shouldn't make judgment until we get the numbers in for this week, I guess, for the North American sales. But I thought if you're at a 3 million and or 4 million in Japan that all have Wii's, that all love Mario, you'd figure at least, I don't know, a third would be looking forward to it.
I see your point.
I don't know. I guess it's all in relation, though. If Halo 3 didn't sell, what was it, 3.8 million in, what was it, 6 days or something like that? And you figure that's still a small percentage of 360 owners, but, well, actually, no, it's just like basically a third. But you just, I don't know, I just when I saw that number, I wasn't totally blown away. And it could just, like I said, it could just be subjective to some other games that have sold. Like, I mean, the GTA series seems to sell better than that on the first day.
Or it could mean you're incredibly negative, whatever. You know.
Just means you're wrong. I do see your point. Japan is at about 3.8 million, I think. And, yeah, 200,000.
Honestly, it's just because they haven't turned on their Wii's in so long, and they weren't.
It's because they have all
the updates,
have their DS's up their ass,
and their batteries weren't.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure
the Super
Mario Brothers sell way more than that in this first day. But then again, there's way more DS's out there than Wii's. So
yeah, there's over 20 million DS's in Japan. So
little bit of a difference.
Just a bit.
All right. Well, enough about that. Let's get on to another thing that totally pissed me off. It doesn't affect you guys whatsoever. But how about Rock Band being delayed in Canada?
Sorry, Canuck.
Till December 20th.
We'll fill you in on how good it is in a couple weeks.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I just better not hire a drummer until I get my drum kit. I don't want to see no drummer. I don't want to be logging on to 60 and seeing...
Yeah,
Jason's a drummer.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any bassists.
I'll play guitar. I'm okay with that.
But
Cowbell is all yours.
Rock Band is coming out in the States on November the 20th, and we here in Canada aren't getting it till November. I mean, I'm screwing up the dates already. Look at that. But December 20th, that'll be the same day that it's released on PS2 worldwide, I guess. It does suck, but hey, it's a better reason for me not to spend any more money because, you know, can save up. There you go.
That's $170 to drop in the pot, man.
That it is. And knowing my roommates, who will most likely be the people playing with, they probably won't play it too often, and it'll most likely be me trying to play drums, guitar, and sing all at the same time. So sticking with Rock Band, the downloadable content schedule has been revealed. So
very cool.
very cool indeed. So those looking at to purchase songs over the internets on your PSN or Xbox Live services, look to be sold for $199 each or packs for $549. Can I get a whoa, you just screwed over Guitar Hero 3? I don't hear you.
Well, no, it gets worse than that, too, because they even said that they said that most single songs would be $1.99. They said they will have songs as low as 99 cents.
There, true. That's even better.
And they have not released the price for full albums yet either.
They have not. And I'm not a huge iTunes downloader in terms of buying music off iTunes. I actually still prefer CDs to this day. But as far as I know, songs single usually they're about $1, right?
Right. Yeah, they're $1.
Yeah, so that's not bad. You're getting basically another 99 cents, and you're getting all the tracks to play, drums, guitar, and sing to. I don't see that as... I see that as basically a perfect price point. 99 each, yet, you know, packs for $5.49, which I'm guessing is probably three songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three song packs.
I guess three songs. Yeah, for
$5.49. I have no problem with that pricing structure, considering that they have to... There's production put into this, you know? It's not just like they're, you know...
People need to get them
putting it out there for you. Yeah, they've actually got to go through. There's production that's involved. They've got to, you know, remaster the entire thing. They've got to, you know, program everything. So there's a little bit of overhead. So I'm okay with the price.
I would love to see $1.50, but I don't know. I guess I can see. I mean, the fact is that the pack price is really good. Yeah, I'm picky. Give me a break. The pack price is good, and it's like one of the things that's getting released the week the game comes out is the police pack of three police songs, and I'm all over that one. And Jason and I are going to be getting the PS3 version.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, I don't know about this, but you know how PSN games usually say that you can download them to like five different systems or something like that?
True, you could share potentially.
I'm wondering if that's possible. So after I get my police pack, I'm going to see if I can download it on either yours or like John's or someone's.
I like the idea of you downloading it to mine. That's great.
Okay, we'll do that. That sounds good.
Sorry, John. Fuck off.
And the one last thing about that is basically why I said they screwed over Guitar Hero 3, if people have been following. Guitar Hero 2 basically had song packs for, I think there were $6.99 for three songs, I believe.
$6.25, 500 points.
500 points basically for three songs, but the thing is you could not choose those three songs. They were basically one good song with two shitty songs packed in.
Ridiculous.
Had to buy them. Yeah. Rock Band going with a single song each. Winner there, that basically guarantees that they are going to be getting my money for downloadable content. Probably much more
a la carte action.
I have to say though, that Foo Fighters pack for Guitar Hero 3 is really tempting.
Whoa, transition! Guitar Hero 3 downloadable content. What do we got coming? We got Foo Fighters, like Chris just said, and then next to that we also have Velvet Revolver, also hitting downloadable services shortly. And how much are they, Chris?
500 points or $6.25.
There we go. And of course, one thing that ticks me off is Velvet Revolver. You have the song Slither on the commercial, and I remember playing through Guitar Hero 3 all the way through one sitting. Thank you very much.
Not in there.
I had that much time in my hands. And seeing the commercial afterwards, I'm like, oh, they're playing Slither. I'm like, I never played that song. So I'm going through co-op, you know, I'm got like my guitar in one hand and control in the other hand because no one wanted to play Guitar Hero 3 with me. And I'm trying to go through, I'm like, oh, here's some new songs like Sabotage or whatnot, and there's no Slither. Then I found it's not in the game. They're going to have it downloadable afterwards. Like, how can you advertise on the commercial with Slither and not have it in the game? Anyway.
It's a conspiracy, Grumble. Jeff.
Yeah.
It is. But luckily, those are all good songs for both of us.
I don't know what you're talking about. We had it here in America. I don't.
How's your dollar doing?
Shut up.
I must have missed that one.
Alright. Let's give a shout out, speaking of downloadable content, and one of the first pioneers that I guess would be Microsoft, celebrating Xbox Live's 5th anniversary. Yay!
Woo! Yay.
Yeah.
Free shit.
Good for them.
That's what we get. Free shit. What do we get, Chris? We get what is that? Carcassonne?
Carcassonne, or I don't know what the hell, how the hell you say it. It basically boils down to exactly what you said. Free shit.
Exactly. And basically, and people, I believe, down in, is it somewhere in Asia, or is it, where is it here? Korea, they're getting,
they're getting Hexen 2, right?
Hexen 2, which is much better than Carcassonne, whatever the hell that is, can't even pronounce it. Why would I want to play
it? That's why I have a 360. I want to play virtual board games.
Dude, let's do it. Thursday. Right after today is Thursday. But no, I mean, you really can't complain. You're still getting free stuff. I mean, people like to complain about, you know, the Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. Oh, you're charging too much for this downloadable stuff. Give us some free shit. You're getting free shit. You can't really complain about free shit. It's free. If you don't want it, don't download it. This is free to anyone who has an Xbox Live subscription. For those people who have signed up since day one, which I guess would be November 15, 2002, they will also be receiving 500 free Microsoft points to spend how they would like.
I like this because it's like, hey, you've given us $250. Here's $625 back.
Exactly. Buy some themes. How about a few gamer picks?
How about buying one Guitar Hero 3 downloadable content pack? Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it is, at least they're giving something. They somewhat care. Agree. And you can. But the thing is, this for those out there also who've changed your gamer tag, I don't think that counts as being with them from the beginning, because I think once you change your gamer tag, it has to have a new registration, so I'm not too sure. If you want to ask questions, I would go ahead and call Microsoft. I'm sure if you bitch and complain enough, and you know they have a record on your credit card or whatnot, you could probably get the 500 points if it's worth it to you.
It's a lie.
Go for it.
It's a lie. It's a terrible lie.
You bitch
I tried.
Anything, get it.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't give me back my username. My gamer tag, as it works. I couldn't recall what credit card I was using, you know, 3-4 years ago. I'm like, I have no clue. And she's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I'm like, I'm trying to give you money. Why won't you take it? And she's like, I can't help you. I'm like, all right, fine. Done. Wait, so fine. I switched
don't
my gamer tag.
It. Fine.
So no 500 points for me. Damn it.
I'm going to download some Guitar Hero 3 packs.
Fuck you.
Wait a second. But... Oh, I don't know if you guys noticed, but did you guys check the Xbox 360 Blade for the five-year Xbox Live anniversary celebration? They did something cool where you can click on this video, and it's actually like a streaming video. It comes up almost instantly. It's in a smaller screen space, of course. But I want to see Xbox incorporate that into more things, because you know how you can just download stuff to your hard drive. This will eliminate that, because it was streaming it from the net, from, I guess, somewhere. You just clicked on it. It basically was, they were interviewing people who were around since Xbox Live was made, you know, people who were behind it, and it was almost instant. You click on it, you're watching it there. It was brought to you by GameSpot, actually, and you got to watch it, and it was actually pretty cool, good quality, and I don't see why they haven't been doing that in the past, and they should definitely incorporate it in the future. I think PSN should do that as well. It'd be save some time and save some space on your hard drive. All right, PS3s. How about them? Those 40 gigabyte PS3s actually have 65 nanometer chips in them. What do you think?
I have no idea what that does. Chips.
Does anyone care?
Not really.
Nope.
There's less power consumption.
They have less heat, blah, blah, blah. They got it in there before the 360. Microsoft, what's going on? That's the problem with the 360. That's why they're breaking. Too much heat. Too much heat, too much problems. When have you ever heard of too much heat? Little problems. Come on, guys. Get them in there. 360, I guess I should have brought this up earlier, but 360 tops PS3 weekly sales in Japan.
Crazy.
Something that has never been done. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that was the Ace Combat thing. That was because of Ace Combat.
Exactly. I did not realize Ace Combat was that big there. Apparently it is.
Yeah. Anything Namco puts out, man. Tekken, Ridge Racer, and Ace Combat. All three of them.
No, what's that other shitty game? Oh, we hate it here. Gundam. They don't make all the Gundam games, too?
Namco it's Bandai. Yeah, Namco it's Bandai. They joined, too. It's true. Oh, how about that?
But yeah, that's kind of surprising. That will not last past next week. Okay. Xbox Originals, for all you know, the Xbox Originals are now going to be downloadable starting in December. You can download Xbox Original games to your your PS3. Yes! Megaton, you heard it, folks. Halo on your PS3.
Wow!
Crazy.
Damn. I didn't read that one.
Totally missed that, Jeff. Where are you reading this? Link me to that.
I will. It's on my Canadian site.
As a side note to that one, I did read today that there is no unlockable achievements in the Xbox Originals.
No achievements.
But back to
a few of them have slight issues, apparently.
Yes, there's slight issues glitch with the original ones. Like I was saying, you can download Xbox Original games to your 360. $15, 1,200 points. roughly. I was listening to actually a podcast yesterday, and they had somebody, I think his name was Aaron Greenberg of Xbox on there, of Microsoft. He's basically saying how Halo is roughly about 1.3 gigs or something like that, so you're looking at about roughly games that size. So those people who have the 20 gig out there, you might want to invest in another hard drive, and that's probably how Microsoft's going to get you, because they're not dropping that price of that $150 puppy. So,
and see, that's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with making Xbox games more accessible, at least in my opinion. I mean, it's all about them saying, hey, look, we have this, this 120 gig hard drive that's overpriced that's selling like shit, so let's give them a reason to buy it.
Exactly. The only good thing I see coming from this is all the cult classic games, say like Psychonauts, if they can somehow get Beyond Good and Evil on there, Freedom Force, all the games that like didn't sell too well, that have kind of critically acclaimed. If they can get those on there, I think a lot more people will actually try those out. It'd be good for the developers too, because it gave them some hopefully some money in their pocket to develop sequels and so forth to those games that didn't do too
well. Yeah, especially like Double Fine, who did Psychonauts, especially them, because it didn't sell well for whatever reason. But I'd like to see research
of the games that are going to be out there. That would be great. Well, it's going to be the games that are going to be released on day one are Fable, Halo, Psychonauts, Crimson Skies, awesome game, very underrated, great multiplayer. I hope they make a sequel. Microsoft, you listening? Of course you're not, but I want to see a sequel. So that's those are just some of the games that are going to be released day one. Go for it if you want. $15, not too bad. What do you guys think? $15 at a reasonable price for last-gen games?
Ouch. I can get that 10, used in that. The store. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can actually get a box. Used for like 10 or 15. So if they were 10, I'd plunk it down easily. But I mean, that's how much Castlevania is on PSN, right? Like Symphony of the Night, I think that one's 10.
It's about $10, yeah. So then you get $10 for a PS1 game, you're looking at last generation 15.
Right.
But the thing is, it also depends on the title, too. I mean, Halo, that is Halo. Psychonauts is kind of hard to find in stores. It's probably worth it just to pay the $15 rather than start to search it down or pay $50 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's there if you want it. And again, download them if you want. Don't if you don't want it. No big deal. Right. Interplay is trying to come back for all those guys. If you remember Interplay,
why?
Earthworm Jim, Descent.
Dude, MVP. How could you not like Earthworm Jim? What do you mean, why?
Wasn't that Shiny that developed it, though? I don't know.
It was Interplay that
published it.
I could care less, but I mean, I don't know. Give me some Clay Fighter. Maybe then
Earthworm
we'll
Jim was. Oh, Clay Fighter. You say boo to Earthworm Jim and then yay to Clay
No. I love Earthworm Jim. I'm just like, I'm not giving them mad props for, like, you know,
say.
Giving them money to put out the game. I don't know.
They also did didn't they put out the Baldur's Gate games on PS2 and Xbox?
Yep,
they actually did. Yeah, they did.
I loved those. Because I'm a dungeon.
They were good. Fanatic, so. Oh yeah.
Anyway, yay Interplay.
Coming back, who knows what they're gonna put in? I'm hoping for MDK 3 or maybe a rehash of the first one or second. They're both great, but hey, let's see.
So we get Interplay back and we're losing Atari again.
Oh,
again.
Shit, suck.
Okay.
But yes, Atari is going to probably go under again, and they're just going to probably sell their name to someone else who just wants to use it for other things besides video games, which looks like that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But, hey, it's Atari. Hey, they haven't made anything good since what, Pong? They didn't make Pong. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't make Pong.
Hey, they had that awesome game on the 2600 ET.
They did.
Shut up.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Okay, how about you talk about PS3 to play DivX? And is PSP is also involved in that as well? Is it not?
I think so. Yeah, because considering it just streams it from it, I mean, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, so what do you guys think? This is a big deal to gamers out there? Should we care? Should we not care?
This is a big deal to porn hounds. Not necessarily
yes!
like myself.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I was hoping you would.
I think it goes without saying. I do have a lot of, you know, even legally owned DivX movie files. I back up a lot of stuff on there. It's a great format. And this is a huge step in the right direction for Sony to put an actual media center, media player, you know, right by the TV. It's a hugely popular format. So this is a big, big deal. And I know everybody's waiting to see what Microsoft is going to do about it. But I might have a little bit of porn on DivX as well, so...
I was going to say, it's for those days you're at work, you're like, hey, I'm going to go play a little Ratchet and Clank in the bathroom.
Right, in the bathroom.
See you guys in 10
via remote play on my PSP.
So that's of course, good news. Who likes analyst talk? You guys like analyst talk? Who doesn't?
Sometimes. Yeah. It's entertaining.
I mean, we're all
sometimes.
Somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently the DS redesign is already done.
No shit.
Evan Wilson of Pacific Crest Securities says, new version of Nintendo Portable complete. Holiday release torrent creating retail woes.
Yeah, what? I'm not thrilled about this. Have you guys heard about this at all?
No,
not too much.
It no longer has a GBA slot.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Really?
So now it's a DES and you can't use your GBA slot. But.
Oh no, it's the backwards compatibility. We've seen this somewhere before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we have. I think it was a 40 gig, PS3.
I don't see this being too much of a big deal. I see it. It does kind of suck. Yes, you're losing literally hundreds of games to play on it.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, but I think the DS games now are stepping up. They've been stepping up for the last couple of years, where people really, they're only buying GBA games here and there. I don't know how GBA games are selling. Do you guys have any figures on that? Or
not really.
Like, the only ones I've bought in the last year have been the Final Fantasy.
They did say that the new one is going to have onboard storage and larger screens, though. So, I mean, if this does turn out to be true, there's that.
Larger, really?
Yeah, larger
screens. Sounds like an okay trade-off, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still carry all of my GBA games, though, in my traveling case with my DS, too. There's still stuff that I bust out every now and again. So, I would be sad to lose that. Just saying.
It would. That's true, and it would be a pain in the ass to carry both your Game Boy Advance and a DS around everywhere,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, see, that's how they'll sell you the Game Boy Micro.
No. Oh,
Game Boy Micro!
Why, Nintendo?
Next!
Okay, speaking of that 40 gig, the price cut of the PS3 recently has actually seen PS3 sales double.
Good job.
President Sony CEO says we've been holding our breath, basically saying that they dropped the price. They couldn't wait to see what was going on. They didn't know what would happen. As we all know, they've dropped the price in the past. You saw great results the first couple weeks, then they kind of plateaued down. Kind of went to a valley, waited. Went back up. Do you guys think this will hold up?
When they dropped the price of the 60 gig, it went. Your sales on a monthly basis went from like. The 80,000s to the 120,000s, and that's kind of where it's been.
That's true.
And now, from what I'm hearing on this, they sold like 75,000 on the first day or something like 75,000 in the first week in Japan, and then 100,000 in the first week here.
Exactly. It's gonna be great for them.
That's pretty significant.
And it's smart. They needed to do it. It doesn't look good actually on paper as a business to drop the price of your product twice in 1 year, especially that close together. But, if they want to push systems, especially in the holiday coming up, whether they have games or not, they need to get that price point around the 360 at least. And now they've done that. Yeah. And it's a better value for the price right now, too. So if they can get that message across to consumers, be like, listen, you're getting Blu-ray, you're getting Wi-Fi, you're getting all this stuff, all this good stuff for competitive price. And
they now have a good exclusive lineup, finally.
Exactly. They have a great exclusive lineup coming up, and and this is a very important holiday for Sony. They really need to push units. I think this is a good move, perfect move. I don't think Microsoft can counter this unless they were to drop their 360 yet again, which I don't think they're going to. I think at this point on, this is where the actual war begins for real in terms of this is our price, this is your price, they're competitive. Let's go, let's see what happens. And I think it's going to get interesting from here on in.
I agree.
Okay. So, it's that type of time of the month where we have NPD numbers.
Yeah, this is...
We all love talking about this, don't we?
Well, let's try and get through this quick, because I don't think there's a ton to say, but it was pretty significant.
Yeah, we're looking at... you go ahead, Chris, read down the hardware numbers for us here.
All right.
If you have them in front of you.
I do, of course. In a second, I will anyway.
All right, you can go with the software. I'll go with the hardware.
The Wii was 500,000, and then followed by DS, which was almost 500,000, 458,000. And then 360 was 366,000, which, with Halo 3 out, you can expect that.
Right.
And then PSP is still actually running pretty strong at 286,000, followed by the PS2 at 184,000, and bringing up the rear is the PS3 with 121,000.
Which will guarantee more double next month. So
they did. Don't worry. They did announce the 40 gig like what, a week before the end of the month?
I believe so, something like that.
So that may or may not have a difference on it. I know that some of the guys over at GameSpot seem to think it does. I mean, I honestly don't know how much of it is. Because they dropped the price of the 80 gig at the same time. So, you know, I can get a 40 gig for $400, or I can get an 80 gig with a game and backwards compatible for $100 more. So,
exactly.
I don't know.
But yeah, then you got like the software chart, so I'll just go through like the top 10 basically. You got number one coming in. I'm not going to go with numbers here because it doesn't really matter the numbers. We got Halo 3 for 360, of course. I think that's going to be in the top three all the way up until probably about February of next year. Guitar Hero 3, 360 came in second. Then the Wii was actually about 100,000K below 360. And we got PS2, Guitar Hero 3, so Guitar Hero 3 did very well last month. We have Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass for the DS. Under that, Wii Play. Everyone knows it's a shitty game, people. It comes with a free controller. Deal with it. It's probably going to be higher than that in December and in November because people are going to be buying their Wiis with a new controller.
Why not?
We got Orange Box. Disappointing. Why is Orange Box this far down on the list, guys?
I don't know. People don't know the glory of cake.
People just got to eat more cake. That it comes down to.
And it's multi-platform, too, so there might be a lot of PC owners. Some people might be holding off for the PS3 version, so...
That's true. That is very true. But it did sell 238,000, so that's not too bad. We got Guitar Hero 3 for PS2. Actually, I'm very surprised PS2 was actually that far down. Wait a second, that doesn't make sense.
It's there twice.
It's there twice.
Once with the guitar, and then it's once with the game alone.
There we go.
And notice that the PS3 one isn't even on the list.
It is not on the list, actually. Which isn't really that surprising, really, considering, I guess, people probably... Well, there's not that many PS3s out there right now to actually break it. Because when you look at Brain Age 2, which is last on the list... sorry. But by last, I mean 10th, as coming in as 116,000. That's a pretty high number to beat, so...
I mean, that's true.
Who knows? But yeah, that basically rounds it out. And we also had FIFA Soccer for the PS2, actually, right underneath Guitar Hero 3. So that's basically NPD numbers. No big surprise, I don't think. Anything stand out there for you guys?
Not really. I'm more interested in to see how it'll look over the holidays with the 40 gig out there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an interesting holiday.
I think both PS3 and 360 will be above Wii only because of shortages, but I think it'll be really close.
Most likely.
Let's see here. Should we bother talking about the PlayStation Store updates today? Is it even worth it?
We have a toy home demo and we have a bunch of trailers. Yay. Next.
Yeah, good stuff. Moving next.
Oh, wait. Actually, Jason, there is a demo on PSN for The Dark Knight.
Really?
Yes.
The Lego one? No.
No, the movie.
All right. I gotta check that out.
All right, so I'll see you guys in a little bit.
To download.
All right. Tune in next week when.
Okay, so anyway, so moving on.
I'm a huge Batman fan, by the way.
Making Trouble? Any of you guys having trouble since you've downloaded the firmware?
I haven't, and I'm still kind of skeptical about this story, only because the only place I've seen it is Kotaku.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's some people saying that it's not reading discs, some people that it's not booting up at all. I don't know. I'm gonna call bullshit on this until I hear it from...
I think they were actually quoting a different forum, though. I think they were actually talking about either 1UP or...
So they're relaying it from someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it didn't originate there.
It's all subjective. All this stuff came out. I remember when 360 would have basic downloads. People would be like, oh my god, the download fucked up my 360.
My console,
like, no, 360 is built like shit. It just died because it fucking died, okay? It's not the patch didn't do it. Your new game didn't do it. Bioshock broke it. No, it didn't fucking break it. It's going to die. Those of you who have a launch system out there that's still alive, just wait for it. Hope you have that warranty in hand because
it's going to happen.
It's inevitable. It's coming. But yeah, I'd put it aside, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. I've had no problems with mine whatsoever.
Knock on wood,
of
buddy.
You guys. So if the three of us don't have problems, no one has problems.
That's right. I bought
a broken one, actually, in hopes of, you know, they had the whole Red Ring fix, and I did get it fixed a little bit, and it worked for maybe a week or two, and then it worked for a day, and finally just bought a new one. I'm just, like, sick of it.
Very 360?
Yep.
Yeah, I just had a launch system, but warranties. I just keep trading them in once my warranty's done. So
there you go.
Actually, I just got a brand new one 2 days ago. Got upgraded mine. Got the HDMI and everything. And yeah, it's good for 3 years.
Nice.
Good deal.
Sweet up. But that's
I have to throw this in really quick before we break.
Go for it.
I was in EB the other day, and some guy came in asking the guy, the manager who was there, what he could do about his 360, which was having audio video problems. And he had just passed his 1 year warranty, and the 3 year warranty only covers the Red Ring.
Yeah. Yes.
So I mean, the salesman was like, "I don't know what you can do." And I turned around and I said, "Can I offer an unorthodox possible solution?" He's like, "Yeah."
I jammed the 360 up your ass.
Wrap the sucker in a towel and turn it on for about 15 minutes.
Overheat the
fender. It's a Red Ring.
Yep.
And I was like, he can't tell you that, but I sure as hell can, because there's a 3 year warranty if it Red Rings. So I said, wrap the sucker up in the towel,
I
turn it on for 15-20 minutes, and see what happens. So I want to know if that actually worked for him. That'd be funny.
That'd be hilarious to know, man. You'd have people doing it all the time. Yeah. I think it's funny that like Microsoft finally owned up to it. It's like, okay, fine, we built the 360 like shit, but you know what, let's just take the most popular problem we're having, and we'll just put the warranty on that. Like, come on, guys, take ownership for everything.
Of everything.
They're breaking all over the place, and not always Red Ring. Like, come on. Like, it's... I mean, you can't call it recall. It'd be way too much money, but this basically is a recall, giving a three-year warranty. It costs them, what, billions of dollars?
It's a
nice way of saying a recall, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, people are still buying the system, because it's got the games and stuff, so, I mean, hey, they're still selling the system, so that's good, but seriously, they should just take ownership for all of it. And yep. If your 360 dies, you send it in, they should be paying for it either way. But that's just me. But yeah, that's the news for this week.
Cool.
And that's all I have on my list here.
Why don't we take a break, and we'll come back and we'll finish up.
Sounds good.
So you all guys right, stick around, and we'll be back in a minute.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Excuse me. I have this burning sensation when I pee.
You need new P.O. Light. Yes, Pocket Otaku Light. All the same great things that make Pocket Otaku great, but with less useless posts than your normal forum board.
Dude?
You won't believe how great new P.O. Light is for the average human consumer.
What about the burning?
Yes. What about the burning? Other forums burn you on content, not P.O. Light.
Are you even listening to my problem?
At Pocket Otaku, we don't care about your problems, but you're welcome to talk about them anyway.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Screw you too, sir. Screw you too.
And we're back. I hope you stuck around for the 30-second commercial for you guys.
I think most of them left probably 2 minutes in.
We wanted to chat a little bit about the Uncharted demo that recently got released.
Woohoo!
And I know that Jeff has played it, and Jason said that he's played a bit of it, so what did you guys think?
The game's coming out tomorrow.
Yes, so the game is released tomorrow.
Let's talk about it. By the time you guys are hearing this, it'll be tomorrow, so you'll probably be playing the actual final copy, but hey.
Hopefully.
So, Chris, what do you think about it?
I enjoyed the hell out of it, even though I didn't think I was going to from the initial time I saw it, started watching videos and stuff, because it just looked like Tomb Raider with a dude. It's like, hey, it's Sausage Fest Tomb Raider. That's great. Why do I care?
And it's pretty hot.
I don't need to know that from you, Jason.
They're going for like that female demographic between like 8 and 13.
There you go. But after I played the demo, it's so much more than that. And the first thing I noticed was how alive everything was in the jungle, and the lighting. I am such a lighting whore, and the shadows that were being cast on Drake himself from, like, the trees that were waving in the wind and stuff like that, it was just ridiculous. And I was just in awe over it. And then the next thing that I saw was a waterfall. And I was like, hey, look, a waterfall. Walked into the waterfall, walked out of the waterfall, and his pants were wet, only up to the point where I was in the waterfall. And I thought that was really cool. And then when I jumped in and went actually underneath the waterfall, then his entire body was wet. And I was like, man, that's pretty impressive. That's all in like the first 2 seconds of the demo. It's before you even get into any of the gunplay or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I got to that point, I found it even more compelling because I felt like I was playing, even though it's not exactly like it, I felt like I was playing Gears again. Because, you know, you go and you run and you go behind cover and you peek out and you start shooting stuff. The only thing I haven't figured out is I really haven't figured out the blind shots yet. Because I know you can do it. I just haven't done it yet.
Hmm. That's funny you say that because that's one of the first things I realized too was it plays almost identically to Gears of War. But in terms of combat, of course, there's no platforming in Gears or anything like that.
Right.
But when you use a button to go behind cover, the only difference is you don't pull the I'm thinking about Rainbow Six, where you pull the left trigger to pop out of cover. But it plays pretty much identical. You're behind cover. If you want to switch to another form of cover, you just push in that direction, hit the cover button again. You'll jump out, roll behind it, whatever he's got to do. And that's one thing I thought that was great. I actually think it handles the cover a little bit better than Gears, because it's not as sticky per se as Gears of War was when you're running around trying to get.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
It was more loose, felt like you were in control of it. Taking like pot shots of people, like going around. Same with you. I've never done a blind fire with it yet either, so I'm not sure if that's actually in the demo or maybe I just don't know how to do it. Either of you guys haven't been able to do that yet, or it's important.
I can't remember 100% if it's actually in the game, but I could swear that I heard that there was blind fire, and I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Yeah, it's not that big deal. I barely use that in Gears anyway.
Yeah, I did. I didn't use it in Gears at all, pretty much. But
what do you think of the platforming elements?
Well, there's only a couple major sections where you actually got a chance to do some platforming. But I mean, I thought it was pretty solid. You know, I mean, it's just like Tomb Raider, but easier. You know,
yeah,
it's not like you have to walk up to the edge and take one step back and then run and jump and, you know, but it's easier than that.
But harder than Assassin's Creed, which is a good...
Yeah, you don't just hold up and a button.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other thing that really impressed me was the hand-to-hand combat. And I don't know how much hand-to-hand combat you guys did, but I made it a point to try and run up to guys and start beating the hell out of them.
Yep.
And if you actually get someone behind up to a wall, you'll punch him a couple of times and then bash his head into the wall, and he'll just
fall. That's awesome.
I mean, I just thought that was really cool, and I don't know. I was very impressed. I'm very much looking forward to this game now, even though I know I'm not going to buy it on launch day because I have way too much other crap to play.
And I think that's very telling, actually. You know, if you're not like wanting to be first in line, not wanting, you know, to grab it launch day. I don't
is
know
it
if it's
that
worth.
Good?
Yeah, is it that great? But
yes, it is.
This is supposed to be the pinnacle. Like, this is the game for PS3 this season. I would go as far as say this is the game for PS3 in the last 2 years. Now, I haven't even said my impressions yet of the demo, but basically that has been what Sony, they haven't been hyping up to everybody this way. It's only the hardcore gamers and people like us who frequent forums and read sites that basically they're banking on this to basically be, again, and I hate to keep comparing to Gears, but the Gears of War for the PS3. A year after launch, coming out in November, it's going to define what the PS3 can do at this stage in its life cycle, and basically that game that everyone wants. And I see where Jay's coming from is, you're not going to get it day one, but what does that say when you consider this is supposed to be that pinnacle game, that the defining game for the PS3 in its life cycle right now, and you're willing to put other games aside, you're not willing to put other games aside to pick this one up on
right.
day one.
Well, can I interject some defense in here?
Yeah, go for it.
Remember that this release date has been moved up like a week.
True. That is true.
I was going to get it on release day, but now I have Mario, and it's like, oh. I really wanted at least a week to play Mario before I got my hands on this game, so.
Okay.
That's kind of where it came
Justifiable.
From.
Justifiable. But I played the demo. I am same with you. I did not have any kind of expectations for the game. No crazy hype for when I first saw it. Same thing. I'm like, Tomb Raider with a dude. Okay, I got sick of Tomb Raider after Tomb Raider 1. Why am I going to do this again? It's made by Naughty Dog. That's great. And honestly, I can honestly say I'm not that big of a Naughty Dog fan. I hated the Crash games.
Yeah,
I like Jack and Daxter. I've only really played two of them. I played two and... Yeah. Well, like I just played three, a little bit of one, two, and most of three. Those are better. But this is a totally different game than what they're used to. They're going more of like a adult theme. But I can say after downloading the demo, I was very, very impressed, especially by the visuals. Were very good. They basically looked like what they looked like in that Target video they showed 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
The lighting again, spectacular, and it was the best lighting I've seen in the game again until I played Assassin's Creed. And again, Assassin's Creed, it's not so much the lighting, but more the shadow effects are just unbelievable. Gameplay alike, I love Gears of War. This plays a lot like Gears of War, the action, love it. Big complaint I have with the combat though, at least the first couple times I played it, was the hit detection seemed a bit off. And by that I mean, I don't mean when you shoot at a guy, it doesn't hit him. It's more of the reaction the enemies have. Whereas if you hit them in certain areas, they react to it, and it's maybe puts them in an animation stage of, say, like 2 to 3 seconds. And sometimes I felt that, say, I pop around the corner, you know, I'm aiming a guy down, my sights is running toward me. I shoot him, I say I hit him in the shoulder. You know, he kind of stumbles back, puts his shoulder back into it. I fire two more shots at him, the reticle's on his body, no reaction. And then he kind of sets himself up, either tries to take cover or just keeps coming, pop another shot, that one he reacts to again. So it seemed to me that when you hit him with the initial bullet, it sets off an animation, and every other shot, say within that 2 to 3 seconds, or like 1 to 2 seconds, doesn't register. And am I the only one who saw that? Am I crazy?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I totally noticed that, and it, to me, that was the soft underbelly of the game, mm-hmm. in a way. You know, you go into this and everything you said is I experienced as well. You know, the graphics are spectacular, the lighting is beautiful. I wasn't as crazy about the textures, but they're still great. But when you start getting into combat, into the meat of the whole thing, you find out that, yeah, it's, as you said, you shoot the guy once and then you plug him again, but there's still no change in the animation. And I think that, I don't know if it's sloppy or what. It's been brought about a few times. It's like on the What Up podcast, and the company itself has actually gone on record and stated, "Well, okay, that was an issue. We've fixed that now. So hopefully, in the final version, that's going to be resolved." But
that's what I'm hoping. And I mean, I can't really complain because Gears of War, like that same kind of combat style, and basically the enemies in Gears of War were basically bullet sponges, right. Unless you put a bunch of bullets in them, or 50 bullets into their legs, they would drop to the ground, but it was the same kind of thing. But in a game like this, it's more focused on realism.
Yep.
And the fact that they react really realistically to it. In fact, everyone is what's the main character's name? Is it Ethan?
Yeah, sure.
Nathan?
Is it Nathan? Oh,
Nathan
weird.
Drake?
Anyone else notice that Insomniac and Naughty Dog have the same main character's name?
No.
Weird. But anyway.
I have to say that I've played the demo through twice now.
Okay.
The first time, I definitely noticed what you guys were talking about. But uh-huh. I noticed that when I went back the second time, that I knew about it. I knew that there was that issue. So I found myself slowing down my trigger pulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think throughout the entire demo, the second time I played through, I only saw one or two shots that I fired that didn't get a reaction out of the guys.
Okay. Now, and I did the same thing.
So you're working around the flaw, essentially.
Exactly.
In a way, yeah. I'm adjusting.
Yeah.
And
you're basically shooting a guy. You're saying, okay, this animation is gonna he's gonna set himself up. You know, I got this amount of time. You're basically subconsciously counting it down, and you know when to fire again.
Right.
Which is, I found myself doing the same thing, but the same thing is that it's exactly what Jay said. It's you working around a flaw of the game where
you're right.
It would be better if, say, a game... Okay, it's all, again, it's all in context and subjectivity, but if you take, like, Perfect Dark Zero, the very first 360 game or a next-gen game, and even go back far as, say, Perfect Dark 1 for Nintendo 64, you'd shoot guys in the leg. They'd go down to the leg. The second you shot them in the shoulder, they'd react to their shoulder.
Right.
No matter what bullet you hit them, it was like instantaneous. You saw a reaction, and they'd drop. And people are saying, okay, well, in real life, when you're shooting a gun, and, you know, you shoot one, your next shot's not going to be directly on the dude. You're like, yeah, I'm playing a video game, for fuck's sake.
Right.
Like, I don't want to make it realistic, like, to shoot a gun. Like, I'll go to a shooting range. Well, like I said, I live in the... down there in the US of A, I'd be able to go to a shooting range, but not up here. But what I'm saying is, like, it's a video game, like, and when you have the reticule on there, if you're going to have it to say, okay, want the realism of your first shot, you hit the guy, second shot, you're not going to be dead on, add a recoil to the gun. Don't have where your reticule stays in one spot.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And so at least they can get around that and be like, hey, you know what? We can't fix this. Let's add recoil to make it so you shoot a dude. It's going to take you that second and a half, 2 seconds to actually readjust your aim back on your opponent. And I can't really, because if you hit the guy in the head, they're going down. That's, none of you guys have problems with headshots in the game, right?
I have had a couple problems with that, but, you know.
Oh, really?
Yep, just a couple, though.
Maybe, but again, it's just a demo.
I don't know. Yeah.
Now, I want to emphasize that when I said that I slowed down my shots, I'm not talking about, like, fire, wait it 2 seconds, and then fire again. I'm like...
Well, nothing that drastic, no.
Maybe half a second between each shot. Maybe.
Yeah, but basically you're not... Your reticule's not on the guy, you're not like a bang, bang, bang.
Right, like, I'm not going not, pop, like, pop,
bang,
pop, pop,
bang,
pop.
Bang, bang.
Right, exactly. Bang.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a game-breaking flaw for me whatsoever.
No, not at least.
I still love the demo. It's the most fun I've had on a demo for PS3, that's for sure. It's the most excited I've been for a PS3 game since Lair, which disappointed the hell out of me. So this one doesn't look like it will. Yeah, but other than that, it was pretty damn solid, really. I gotta make one comment actually on the graphics. They are amazing graphics, and it is so lifelike, and I like the art direction they took, where it's not super hyper-realistic looking, but it's... They added kind of like a cartoon kind of flair. Do you guys notice that? Where it's kind of... It looks like they kind of went for the realism thing, but they kind of glazed over it with kind of like a... Not... I don't want to say cel shading, because it's not cel shading, obviously. It's not. But it kind of has like kind of a cartoony look to it. Or am I on crack?
I don't know. I got to go back and see
it. See, I don't think I saw it the same way. I, like... Jason, you might see it more the next time you play the demo.
I'm sure, actually. I'm excited, for that.
Because you're going to be in HD now.
Yep.
But one of the things that it looked like to me is, like, especially like the sides of rocks and stuff like that, it looked like they were wet. You know, it was like it was reflecting the light to the point where it looked like they were wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's the same idea that you're talking about, but...
I just mean the whole general look. Like, when you see the whole opening cinematic, where people who haven't played the demo, it starts off with you're in a plane with that girl. I can't remember her name. I want to say Alex, but I think that's just because of the Half-Life we've been playing. But you're coming down in a plane when the plane drives by. It doesn't look like... It doesn't have that super... Like, there's more realistic-looking games for pretty much any system out there that look like, wow, the plane looks real, this forest looks real, everything. But to me, everything looks like they went for the realistic look with kind of a hint of...
Stylized.
More stylized, kind of like more like. I think they did that because I'm not sure if they gave them more freedom, especially in facial animation. Because, of course, the less realistic you go, the more facial expressions you can get out of a character because you don't have to have it super real, right? And which the game, again, has amazing facial animation, amazing character models. It looks gorgeous.
Agreed.
Like, when you see the look on the character's face, you're like, wow, you actually believe it. It's almost like, wow, you know, that's the kind of face I'd make if I knew I was going to go down a burning airplane. Except you'd see a log of crap in my pants, but other than that.
I also liked the... I like the character a lot, because he's... You know, they've been bragging about the fact... Oh, he's just a normal guy, he's just a normal guy. And but you actually get the feeling of that when you're playing, because, I mean, there was a point when I played it today that there was like a... I stopped for a second. And then there was a noise off in the distance, and he immediately dropped, like, put his hand on his gun.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm ready. You know, and I thought that was, it's kind of cool to see those reactions with the game.
And him talking to himself is really cool, too. And he'll say, like, a little one-liner here or there just as you're walking around. And usually they're pretty funny, and they kind of get you, like, kind of smirk. And kind of, like, it kind of fills up those little voids of just when you're not doing anything, when you're, like, say, just walking up to a ledge or something. It just kind of – it keeps you interested. It keeps, like, what's he going to say next kind of thing? What's he going to do next? What's animation he's going to do next? And the platforming – what I liked about – because I played the demo about, like, probably about 3 or 4 times. And every time I know there's that one jump you make where you jump to grab on that ledge. It's like the very first thing you do when you're platforming. The first time I did it, I think he grabbed it with 2 hands, pulled himself up. Second time, I guess I jumped from a little bit further back. He jumped, reached with 1 hand because he wasn't quite going to make it. Grabbed it with the 1 hand, kind of shimmied back up. It was just, I don't know, it was just such a realistic animation. And the variation of it just makes it so you're not going to see the same animations over and over and over again. A la Tomb Raider.
Right, that's true. That's true. I was definitely impressed with the demo.
Good.
Oh, 100%. I'm hoping it's going to live up to the hype. Reviews are out now. It looks like it's going to do pretty well.
It's getting high 8s, low 9s. That's mm-hmm. good enough for me.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's coming out tomorrow. I believe it should be coming out tomorrow in retail stores mostly everywhere. I believe it ships tomorrow, right? Or is it shipped today?
It shipped to today, the 15th, so it should be out tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm picking it up tomorrow. I'm picking it up day one, so don't know about you guys, but that'll definitely be on my list next week for my distraction. It'll probably take up a lot of my time over the weekend.
It will be added to my Gamefly queue.
Nice.
Gamefly queue?
Yes.
Gamefly queue.
I as I said, I'm going to probably wait a couple weeks just because I have so many other games that I'm trying to play right now. So
yeah.
As much as I'm dying to play it, I'm going to have to wait. But I look forward to hearing what you think after you play it some more.
Yeah. Sounds Chris, good. I'm going to be pissed if I come over and I want to rock out with Rock Band and you're playing Uncharted. I'm going to be pissed.
No. Rock
Dude,
Band?
You got band practice, man. What are you doing?
Dude, Rock Band Friday is going to be Rock Band Friday.
All right. That's okay. The way we're going to do it. Hold me to that.
All right. That's cool, man.
I don't want to hear any shit about your pretty boy Tomb Raider crap. Rocking out.
No. Sausage Fest so Tomb Raider. Get it right. Sausage Fest Tomb Raider.
All right.
But yeah, Tomb Raider was Boobalicious, and this is Sausage Fest Tomb Raider.
That's right. In stores tomorrow.
That's real dirty.
Everyone pick it up.
All right. Well, that's Uncharted. Usually right now we would go into user email, but this is our first episode, so we don't have any user email.
Yeah, sorry guys. I tried to get my mom to write in, but she had better things to do.
Well, I'm gonna take a quick second just to give some information about how the three of us came to be doing this.
Oh my god, it's the first episode, and you're already getting on a soapbox and taking liberties. This can only go downhill. Oh, okay.
All right, do it. You can do it.
No, okay, no, I'm messing with you. Go for it.
All right, smart ass. That's cool. Anyway, Jason and I. Know each other personally. We live near each other. We work together. We work together on a side project called Pocket Otaku. We did a podcast for Pocket Otaku for a while. We did it for, I don't know, it probably spanned about a year.
Yeah, give or take.
But we only had like 18 or so episodes. But we had a blast doing it. And then it just got to be too crazy, and we were like, okay, we need to stop doing this now.
We were kind of focusing on other things at the time within the company.
So. Right. And, you know, we were talking about how he and I wanted to start putting together, like, a gaming site, and then we got to a gaming podcast, and, you know, that's how Jason and I came to be, came to want to do this. I was also on the 1UP forums at one point, and then, you know, 1UP went Nazi on us, and that's where Clown jumped in and
broke up our family.
Dude, they did, man. That was horrible. But they seriously went totally Nazi on us in the forums. The mods started coming down on people like it was ridiculous. All the boards were pretty much shut down. They have like 5 boards now as opposed to like one per system. And anyway, that kind of, you know, it made everyone pretty upset. It made a lot of us upset. And
all the pretentious bastards came in and started being like, who are these new guys? Like, we've been here for years, you fucker.
Yeah. So that's where Gamers Liberation Front came in. And that's kind of where Jeff and I got associated. And Jeff and I would always have these discussions. It's like, even when we disagreed, we would always have these discussions that, you know, we may not end up agreeing or we may not come to common ground, but we would understand where the other person was coming from. And exactly. It was always without the typical internet bullshit where it's like, yeah. Oh, you're a fanboy, you suck, you're an idiot.
Basically, it came down to, I can understand that Chris was always wrong. So that's basically how I learned to deal with it. But no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It was always a good conversations, good arguments, good debates, but never any bad blood.
Right, definitely. And so he was the first person on my list to be a third for the podcast, and that's kind of where the three of us came together and made up Interactive Distractions. And we even talked about having a fourth, and we have a fourth kind of chosen, but we want to make sure that we can handle three right now first.
Exactly. And so, that fourth doesn't know who they are yet. Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. The fourth has been picked, but they don't know who they are. And that's pretty much the gist of it. So that's just to give you guys a rundown of where we're coming from. We just wanted to talk about games and have a good time, and we're running a little over today. By a lot. We're targeting an hour, and we're quite a bit past that. So I'm going to wrap that up now. And
so you guys were still there. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, those of you who are still listening, we love you. Send us an email.
We love you, but it's kind of creepy.
Just one.
But seriously, send us emails. We are interested in hearing what people have to say about our first episode and what we
Definitely.
Can do to improve. Because we
Any
know that's
good.
We know that the first episode always sucks, and you know we want to make it better, and we want you guys to listen every week. So,
exactly, we'll improve.
Yes, definitely.
We'll
give us your feedback.
And want to get you guys involved too. So look forward to that too. In upcoming weeks, if you guys listen, you guys get to interact. So works both ways.
Yes, and that's where the question of the week comes in. This week's question of the week is, what should be our first question of the week?
That's deep. So
jealous, and give us questions, and we'll go through them, and we'll pick one, and we'll see where it leads.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right. You guys have anything else to say, or should I just go down the new release rule list really, really fast and wrap up so we can go to sleep?
I think I'm good. I might do a little bit of assassinating before I go to bed, but other than that, guys, don't take my Assassin's Creed thing to heart. Don't take it as word. Good game. I'm just saying.
You were a negative son
of
a bitch.
Don't rush it. Listen.
I got you figured out, man.
You're
one
such
episode
a Jeff. Damn. So
I know.
Transparent.
I know.
No, I'm hooking up a TV right after we're done here, so let's wrap this shit up. Move.
All right, we'll do. I'll go down real fast. We don't grab all the new releases for the week, but we grab the ones that interest us the most. So
Best
here we go.
Ones.
Yes, the ones that shipped out today. Uncharted for the PS3.
Woo!
One Sorry. That Jason will buy. Fire Pro Wrestling for the PS2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And King of Fighters 11 for the PS2 also.
I'm getting that too.
Are you?
Yep.
Awesome. I want to play you. On the 19th, shipping out, we have Mario Party for the DS.
Interesting.
Why? I don't know.
It's big in Japan.
Yay, Mario Party again.
Medal of Honor Airborne for PS3. Yeah. Time Shift and Time Crisis 4 for the PS3.
Time
which
crisis.
I will be buying at one point or another.
Yeah.
For the Wii, we have the Wii Zapper with Lynx Crossbow Training.
Cool.
And then we have Sega Rally Revo and Unreal Tournament 3 coming out for PC.
Game over, yeah.
on the 20th, Final Fantasy 11 for another expansion, Wings of the Goddess for 360, PS2, and PC.
Wait, what's the new job in that one? Anybody know? I saw it. What the hell was it? Calculator or something like that. Scholar? I don't know. I don't care either. Moving along. Sorry.
That was a rat hole we don't need to go down.
Yeah.
Sorry for all those who are still playing Final Fantasy XI.
oh, God.
I compliment you for your longevity. Godzilla Unleashed. Oh, yeah, there's a winner.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
It is.
Yeah,
actually,
that's on my pre-order list. That's right up there.
DS and PS2. Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings for DS is out.
Oh boy.
Here's another Jason big title. John Deere Heartland.
That is so cool. Come on.
Dude, awesome.
I know.
Definitely. And I'm sorry, guys, but this is the best thing on this list, so you're just going to have to deal with it. AMF Bowling Pinbusters.
Fuck that Wii Bowling shit.
Deal with it. Yeah. I don't give a shit about that Mass Effect crap. I don't give a shit about Rock Band. It's all about the AMF Bowling. Ghost Squad for Wii, Geometry Wars Galaxies for Wii,
very
Soul
cool.
Calibur Legends for Wii, which I'm hearing is not as good as I wanted it to
I'm
be.
I'm sure it's not.
What do you expect? It's a Wii game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's Soul Calibur,
I
man!
Know. I know, Soul Calibur's awesome, but you know what? They're butchering stuff and throwing it on the Wii. Just like this one, so.
Well, yeah, because there's 13 million of the damn things out after a year. Of course it's going to sell.
12 million dumb people. Sorry.
Does that mean I get to be one of the million that's smart?
Yes.
Just making sure. I need to make sure of these things. Trauma Center New Blood.
Huh?
I don't know how I feel about that name. It kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of
like,
creepy.
It's like, is it a Rambo sequel?
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Trauma Center New Blood. And then, of course, the biggest title on here, for real, is Mass Effect. And then Rock Band for both 360 and PS3.
Wait, that's coming up?
For the US, anyway.
I didn't know.
Sorry, Jeff.
It's alright. It's alright. I'll just sit here and play my... I can't even... Go on.
You've got, like, moose to play with and stuff up there. Canada. You'll be fine.
It's not moose season, okay?
It's not moose season.
You guys have moose bells and stuff, cowbells here?
Okay. We do, actually. We have them on all of our igloos.
Hey, say about for me.
About? I want to say like the stereotypical way. About? About?
About?
So, Soldier of Fortune Payback is for PS3 coming out on the 20th. And last, and maybe least for some of you, but not for me, Phantasy Star Universe, Ambition of Illuminous.
Very tempting. Very tempting.
I saw some videos of some of the new weapons, man. They have a whip now.
Yeah, the whip's
pretty fucking rad.
See, the whole Phantasy Star thing just kind of, you know, initiated me into the whole online internet message board scene. So I have a
yeah, me too. That's a different conversation.
Yeah, we could do a whole show.
Jason and I kind of have a heartfelt spot for PSO because
big time.
If it wasn't for PSO, then you know. He and I and a lot of the people that we hang out with probably wouldn't know each other.
We never would have met, man. I know.
It's the touching moment, guys. I wish I was there.
No, you don't. Don't lie. Lying doesn't become you.
It's pretty lame.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a little bit of PSO, right? Or PSU?
Well, a lot of people don't like PSU.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
It did get a lot better, though, after they started actually releasing content to make it a complete game.
We're going to talk for another hour, aren't we?
But Phantasy Star?
No, we're not.
All right, we got to cut this short. All right.
Yeah, we're good. We're
yes, because you got a TV to hook up and Assassin's Creed to play, and I'm going
exactly.
to bed.
All
right.
So I hope you guys were able to suffer through the first show and maybe enjoyed part of it. Email us your comments at email@interactivedistractions.com, and our website should be up pretty soon. By the time this is up, it should be at least in skeleton form.
Right.
You guys have anything else to add?
Nope, I'm good. Check out the website, send us emails and stuff, and
feedback, all the feedback we can get.
Yeah,
negative feedback, we might get mad, but we'll still take it.
That
account.
Gets forwarded to Chris at
interactivedistractions.com.
Are we going to have our own email
addresses? All the emails that say you suck come directly to me?
Yeah, those are already forwarded. Don't worry. That's cool.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
And
well, then that's it for today, and we hope to see you guys next week. And
Alrighty.
Thanks for listening.
All right, sounds good. Later, guys.
Take it easy.
Later.